This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is Jessica Gonzalez in Los Angeles, California, where I am currently working on an article for the Daily Bruin, UCLA school newspaper. This podcast was recorded at
12:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, the 8th of December.
Things may have changed by the time you hear it, but I will most likely still be taking notes from the NPR Politics podcast to improve my journalism skills. Okay, here's the show.
Love student journalism.
Love it, love it.
I wrote for the Daily Cal, you know, maybe rival student newspaper to the Daily Bruin. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
I'm Franco Ordonez. I also cover the White House.
And Charles Maines is here with us from Russia. Hey, Charles.
Hi there.
So this morning, President Biden announced that WNBA star Brittany Griner has been freed from a Russian prison.
She's safe. She's on a plane. She's on her way home. After months of being unjustly detained in Russia, held under intolerable circumstances, Brittany will soon be back in the arms of her loved ones, and she should have been there all along.
Biden made the announcement with Griner's wife, Sherelle Griner, by his side at the White House.
So over the last 9 months, you all have been so privy to one of the darkest moments of my life. And so today I'm just standing here overwhelmed with emotions, but the most important emotion that I have right now is just sincere gratitude for President Biden and his entire administration.
Brittany Griner was released in a prisoner swap with Russia for the Russian arms dealer Viktor Boot, known as the Merchant of Death. What was this prisoner exchange, and do we know where Griner is now?
It was a one-for-one prisoner exchange. Griner was swapped for convicted Russian arms trader Viktor Boot. And Biden signed, actually, an order cutting short his 25-year sentence. Biden talked to Griner from the Oval Office, along with Griner's wife, Sherelle, this morning after she had left Russia. Biden said that she would be back in about 24 hours.
Yeah, and the exchange, as we understand it, Charles, took place in the United Arab Emirates on a tarmac.
Yeah, you know, we heard from, in Moscow anyway, we heard this from Russia's foreign ministry. They issued a statement to their social media accounts saying that the swap had taken place at the Abu Dhabi airport after what they called lengthy negotiations. In its statement, the foreign ministry also kind of flipped the script a bit. It said it was Russia that had been trying for so long for this moment to free Viktor Boot and said they were glad he was now on his way home. Other Russian officials later clarified that this deal went through because both President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin had issued pardons.
So Viktor Boot is this convicted arms dealer. Brittany Griner was detained because she brought some vape cartridges into Russia?
Yeah, you know, this case started back in February. Griner arrived into Moscow. She was arriving to Russia to play in the offseason of the WNBA. She plays in the Russian Women's League here and has for several years. And she arrived and she basically customs agents found vape cartridges containing some hash oil in her luggage. She admitted that, in fact, she had brought this in by accident, later testified in court that this was medicinal. It was actually issued, prescribed by a U.S. doctor for pain in her back and knees. But of course, it's an illegal substance here in Russia. She was sentenced to 9 or 9.5 years, if you can consider the detention period as well. Russians certainly seemed as though this case was politicized. It was all unfolding against the war in Ukraine, where obviously the U.S. and Russia have vast differences. And so it seemed like it was kind of mirroring the events that were happening relative to the conflict in Ukraine.
And that's why there was so much pressure on Biden to kind of secure her release. I mean, he was under increasing pressure from all different avenues, from the athletes, from celebrities, from other politicians. I mean, it was really tough, especially back in the summer when she sent him a letter, a handwritten letter saying, quote, "I'm terrified I might be here forever." there was a lot of sympathy for Griner and a big push. I mean, at the White House, Tam, you, I, a lot of us were often asking the administration questions about progress on Griner's release. Oftentimes, it was hard to get information, and it did not seem it was going well in many cases. In the last few weeks, Biden said that he hoped after the midterms, Putin would be more open to talking about a prisoner swap. And that's apparently what happened.
Franco, it's really interesting because in Russia, it felt as though certainly the Kremlin was well aware of the pressure that Biden was under to free Griner. And that was incentive not to free her. And in terms of why now, I mean, I think we can only guess. But one aspect here is certainly that Griner's final appeal was rejected by a Russian court. And she began serving out her term formally in this prison colony in Mordova. This is about 300 miles south of Moscow, but certainly not one of Russia's brighter spots, let's put it that way. And the U.S. had been pushing for this trade for months, but Russian officials were saying it could only happen when the trial and the appeals were complete. So, you know, no doubt Moscow enjoyed the pressure on the Biden administration over this issue, but it seems as though that once the trial was open, that seemed to open the door to these negotiations, and here we are.
Well, and over the summer, the administration in the U.S. had gone public saying, we made this very serious offer, and Russia isn't talking to us or isn't considering it. So I guess there's been a lot happening under the surface here.
Right. And again, though, I mean, I'm no professional poker player, but it seems to me that if you're trying to get someone out, letting the Russians were certainly aware of how badly the U.S. wanted this deal. And that, I think, gave some incentive, given the politics of the moment over Ukraine, over U.S.-Russian relations, to stall.
Right. We're going to take a quick break and more in a second about the other American who wasn't released.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games. Not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
And we're back. And while there has been a lot of joy about Brittany Griner being released, being on her way home, there's also a bittersweet element to this that even Griner's wife, Sherelle, mentioned in her remarks at the White House, which is that another high-profile American detainee in Russia, Paul Whelan, who served in the Marines, and he's now 52 years old. He's been in prison for several years now in Russia. He was not released. The U.S. had wanted him to be part of this deal, and ultimately, he wasn't. Franco, has the White House explained what happened?
Yeah, the White House did not include Paul Whelan. And they were very clear that this was not an option, that they worked very hard to get Whelan's release. But it became clearer and clearer as the negotiations went on that they didn't have that opportunity. The officials that spoke to us today after Biden's announcement said it was not a choice between which American to bring home. It was a choice between bringing home one particular American, Brittany Griner, or bringing zero Americans home.
And Biden addressed that himself, too.
Sadly, for totally illegitimate reasons, Russia is treating Paul's case differently than Brittany's. And while we have not yet succeeded in securing Paul's release, we are not giving up. We will never give up.
Charles, President Biden mentioned this idea that Russia sees Paul Whelan differently than Russia saw Brittany Griner. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Whelan is serving out a 16-year prison term after being convicted for espionage. This was back in 2020. In fact, I had attended portions of that trial. Whelan at the time called it in sort of famously a goat rodeo. He had these kind of colorful words for it. The U.S. has made no secret that they thought this was a sham trial. But, you know, from the Russian perspective, it's a more serious crime. Now, we have, of course, have to say that, you know, comparing the, you know, trading a convicted arms dealer for Brittany Griner, who was convicted for carrying this a small amount of an illegal substance, also doesn't seem like quite a fair trade. But from the Russian perspective, again, Whelan is the more serious crime here.
And, you know, and Biden did say that while it's going to be possibly more difficult without having kind of boot as a chip to negotiate with, Biden did make clear that they were going to continue to work for Whelan's release. And they were very conscious to the concerns about Whelan. I mean, a U.S. official also said that they visited Whelan's sister on Wednesday to share the news on Griner's release. And Biden has also committed to speaking with Whelan's family in the near future.
And what has the reaction from his family been? This certainly must be a disappointment.
So we heard from Whelan's brother, David Whelan, who issued a statement to the press. He expressed joy over Griner's release. He said U.S. officials had warned them in advance, unlike when the U.S. did a trade for another Marine, Trevor Reed. This was earlier this year. He said that Biden had made the right decision, David Whelan's words, to make the deal that was possible rather than the one that wasn't, but said, no, make no mistake, this was disappointing. And for Paul Whelan, who sits in a jail in Mordovia right now in Russia, he called it a catastrophe.
Franco, I have to say that I think you and I have both covered several of these stories before of detained Americans or hostages being released as part of deals. And these are always incredibly complicated stories where there's this mix of joy at someone getting to come home, along with questions of whether the trades were worth it. And clearly that's hanging over this today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always a concern that this could encourage the imprisonment of other Americans abroad, that it could lead to this happening more. What would stop officials in other countries that are adversaries to do the same thing? And we asked officials that today, and they said that the exchange for boot should not be interpreted as a normal practice, that it is done from time to time. There is precedent for it, and as you noted, and it's done in cases where they felt that there's no alternatives. What I did find interesting today was that the officials, you know, said that they felt a moral obligation to take action, as well as a policy obligation to bring folks like Griner home. And they kind of flipped the script a little bit when they're kind of thinking through this themselves. They told us that they start with the question of how is it acceptable for someone like Brittany Griner to be put through these what they called sham proceedings and forced to spend time in a Russian penal colony under horrible circumstances that she does not deserve. And they said that they regard that as unacceptable first, and then they take steps to how can they remedy that. And they try to give up as the least amount possible. And that's what they say they did.
You know, I think there's a reason they call it hostage diplomacy. You know, this is coming down to the fact that both sides see Viktor, like the Russians certainly see Viktor Boot as wrongfully detained, despite his track record as an arms dealer. For
and
them,
a trial in the U.S. justice system.
They had a trial in the U.S. justice system, but he was given 25 years because of a minimum mandatory sentence. Even the our colleague Michael Sullivan did a piece where the judge who sentenced him said she didn't feel he deserved quite that much. And certainly there's a sense from the Russian side that it's a classic example of what they call sort of a, you know, U.S. overreach. In other words, pursuing citizens of other countries in third countries. Viktor Boot was arrested in Thailand before being extradited back to the United States. So for them, they see this as, you know, an example of that. And certainly, I think there's no question that these cases like Brittany Griner are used as leverage.
We're going to leave it there for today. Charles Maines, thank you so much for joining us on the pod.
Hey, thanks so much.
I'm Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
I'm Franco Ordonez. I also cover the White House.
And thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.